Look upon it. I don't know why they had known that, but it says Eve, she was around that tree, and that serpent come to her and said that, why did God say this? I'm going to paraphrase a lot probably. We can't eat of that tree because, you know, we'll die. And he said, we shall not surely die. But she said, your eyes shall be opened and you shall become as gods. And yes, I got to thinking about that. And they were right. That he was right. That their eyes were open and they had become little gods, because now that pride is, I believe that's when pride entered into the world right there. Is that when they noticed that themselves. And we're going to get into that a little later. So we're going to break it down a little bit of man. And when she looked upon that tree, she said, the lust of the flesh. She said it was good for food. And tonight, how many? There's one thing that we got to control in this world today. It is the lust of that flesh. If we're not careful, that flesh will rise up and it'll say, I'm hungry. I need you to feed me. And if we're not careful and we don't keep it under subjection day after day after day, and we don't crucify it daily, that flesh will rise up and say, I'm hungry. You got to give me something I can feast on. You got to give me something that I can go with. You got to give me something that I need. I'm craving it. And that flesh is something that craves and can never be satisfied, because just as soon as you think you've satisfied that flesh, it's going to take you to another level. That's why they say you start out on drugs. Some people start out on a small drug, but they do that drug so much that soon it is not satisfying that system no more. But so they go to a bigger drug, and soon that drug is not satisfying that high no more. Then they go to a bigger drug, and before you know it, they wind up in a place that they never thought they'd be. That lust of that flesh, she said, it was good for food. That lust of the eyes, she saw that it was good for food. How many times have we looked at something and they crave it? You know what? That'd be nice to have. Not necessarily detrimental to the soul. Maybe we're out at the parking lot. Hopefully the Ford parking lot. And we say, man, that's a real nice F-150 right there. I sure would look good in that seat. Well, that's a nice Chevrolet there. Man, I'd like to have that. That lust of that eyes. Dear God, we'll pray for you if you're saying that. But the lust of those eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul. Is that what they say? Number three, the pride of life. Desire to be wise. Those lust of that eyes. She saw that it was good for food. And lust of that flesh, that craving. When she looked upon that fruit. When she looked, all of a sudden that flesh was triggered. That looks good. And listen to that flesh. I bet that'd be good too. I need that. I like to taste that fruit. That pride of life. Oh, now I bet that would make me something if I bit that fruit. Adam was with her and without excuse. Because she said, when the Bible said that she took the fruit and handed it to her husband. Now, whatever reason, maybe they just grabbed it off the tree just to feel it. Maybe they just grabbed it off the tree just to see what it felt like. And I'm here to tell you tonight from experience, the enemy is not going to come and going to get you all at once. If he can start your demise out with just a little touch of something, he's going to start your demise out with just that little touch. He ain't going to tell you to go in full-fledged and take just a big bite of this fruit. But no, he's going to say, just go up there and touch it a little bit. Maybe just get the feel for it. And that is what's satisfying that flesh, that lust of that flesh. Maybe she looked upon it day after day after day. And then one day she realized that this looking ain't doing it no more. I want to go up there and I want to touch it. I want to see what it feels like. I see the texture, but I want to feel the texture of it. And maybe that's what steps she took, satisfying that flesh. But out of her husband, maybe when she took that fruit off that tree, could have said, no, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do that. No, we can't touch it. We can't eat it, Eve. We can't do this. But you know what? He did, and he took a bite out of himself. And then their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. They knew before mentally. They knew it. They knew before mentally, but now they knew by experience. They went from God consciousness and they gained self consciousness. We know certain things are wrong. I know if I walk into a bar tonight and I grab a beer and I drink it, that's wrong. I know it. I ain't gonna do it. But if I go into that bar and I grab that beer and I drink that beer, I've crossed the line. We know things a lot of times. We know things are wrong. But that flesh desires that touch. That flesh desires that feeling. We may know things mentally. We may know things in our mind that are wrong. But when we cross over that line, now I'm not saying there's no turning back. When we cross over that line, and now we've experienced. There's a lot of testimonies out there that ones that recover from drugs, have recovered from alcoholism, have recovered from this and that. But I'm telling you, the greater testimony is the testimonies like my mom has. She's never touched a beer. She's never touched a cigarette. She's never touched any of that. That is a great testimony. She doesn't know. She knows those things are wrong, but she's never experienced it. But those that us that knew that were wrong, we crossed that line. And maybe we've tried to cover it up, the wrong things we've crossed. Maybe we've tried to cover it up in a way that you try to take anybody's attention off of what we've done wrong. Maybe it's a way that we think it'll hide from folks around us and God. Maybe we come into church dressed up as if nothing was wrong. I wonder how many times a man and a wife has walked into church and the folks around them not knowing that that husband is physically and mentally abusing that woman. And they walk in there like nothing's wrong. Oh, and the mom and dad, they walk in and the son has just come home from a night of binge drinking. And he's passed out on the floor and they got to walk in here with a smile because they don't want nobody to know that what's going on in their household. Maybe you've tried to make one sin go away by hiding it with another. Maybe you've tried to hide the shame of that sin by indulging in another. Maybe if I take part in this, I'll forget about this. Maybe if I do this, then this thing will go away. We've tried to cover up the guilt with anything that we can find. But our attempt to cover it reveals more than it conceals. We try to cover up things and try to say, oh, no, that's not me. We try to cover it up, but it reveals more than it conceals. The time has come when the fig leaves won't do. In this day and in this hour, the things we try to cover it up with, the things we try to hide the things within our life, what we've done wrong, what we've experienced, it ain't doing it. It ain't cutting it, but God is calling out our name. Adam had a fourfold confession. See, I heard. That was the acknowledgement of God. I was afraid. And all this, his eyes were open. Satan went lying. That's one of those, I guess you could say, little white lies or hidden truths. When we cross into those certain things, when we experience new things, our eyes will be opened, but not in a good way. He said, I was afraid. That was the guilt discovering. I was naked. That was the effect of sin. I hid myself. That was the result of the guilt. How many times have we tried to hide what we've done wrong from the one that already knows we did it? I was naked. Sin and the devil are no respecter of persons. Heard one quote said, the wages of sin is death. One of these days the devil is coming to collect his payment. Payday is coming. The effect of sin, they were naked. Genesis 3:21 said, unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Then suddenly they found these fig leaves. They sewed them together. They tried to hide their sin that they've done. They tried to say, well, maybe. Not. I don't know what the mentality of this thinking was, that God has seen them in a certain way every day that He walked with them. He's seen them. They were naked, but they knew it. They knew it. He knew it. But now, maybe, what were they thinking, saying that maybe if we sow these fig leaves and we put these things on, maybe God won't notice a difference. Maybe God, if I come into church and I lift my hands a little more and I say another extra hallelujah tonight, maybe God won't realize that I was just out partying the night before. Maybe that the pastor won't realize what I was doing. If I just lift my hands, maybe if I take a lap around the church, maybe he won't see. But I'm telling you, God sees. You might fool your pastor, but you'll never fool Jesus Christ. Man-made aprons. We're going to do a comparison here. And I was looking for a suit, a hunting suit. They called it a leafy suit, and I was going to get Brother Derek to wear it, but I couldn't find nobody that had one without buying one from the store. But these leafy suits that you can buy, they're real thin. They're for turkey hunting. Nothing, it's no warmth in them or nothing. They just do it, try to deceive that old Tom that you can get him. These man-made aprons, these leaves that they sewed together versus these animal skins that were crafted by God. Anything that's man-made will never even stand up to the test of time, something that's made by God. When God crafts something, it will never corrode. It will never rust. It will never decay. It will never go away. When it's handmade by God. Why were the animal skins needed if they were covered? You ever thought about that? The fig leaves were fragile and not protected from the outside elements. And I was going to tell him, you know, once you got this thin suit on, why don't you go on out there in the cold weather? Oh, it wouldn't have done no good because the fig leaves were thin. There's no protection from the outside elements. And so we try to cover these things up and we try to hide them from God. And we say that, oh, this will do. This will cut it. But I'm telling you, the life that the world that is out there nowadays, these fig leaves ain't cutting the elements that is out there. The things that are going to come against us, these fig leaves ain't going to do it no more. We need something other than that, and that is the blood of Jesus. So we find out that God comes in, and there's no comparison to the warmth and the comfort and protection and the durability of those animal skins compared to those fig leaves. I don't know about you, but when I go out in the elements of some rough elements, whether I'm hunting or whether I'm just outside working, but I'm telling you, I want something that's going to withstand the temperatures. I want something that's going to withstand the elements. I want something that's going to withstand anything that comes my way. The fig leaves weren't going to do it, but I'm going to tell you what did it. It was that sacrifice that God took, and He killed that animal, and He made those animal skins. He said, no, the fig leaves, something, the things that you have crafted to cover up your sins, ain't going to do it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you something that when you put it on, and when you take it on your body, that it will withstand any element out there, and that is the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, we may craft something, and we may try to cover up our sins, but what we need when the fig leaves won't work no more is to come into the day and the hour right now that the fig leaves ain't cutting it. We need more of the blood of Jesus. We need to preach more of the blood of Jesus. We need to experience more sinners being covered by the blood of Jesus. The times is getting tough, and we need more of the blood. First John 1:7-8. But if we walk in the light, as He in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We could say, I didn't do nothing wrong. But your suit, what you're wearing, is telling me different. Not your clothes per se, but your spiritual. What you're wearing is different. I see the clothes you're wearing. It doesn't speak very highly of you. I see what you're trying to cover yourself up with. I know something's up. I see what you're trying to conceal your wrongdoings with. But something ain't right. But He said, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. garden to garden. Sin was birthed in the garden. But in Matthew 26:39 said, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And with the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. He may have sacrificed an animal that day in that garden to cover up that sin. And I'm thankful for that, for Adam and Eve's sake. But I'm thankful for the day that he endured that cross. And he died on Calvary over 2,000 years ago and shed his blood that day. The ultimate sacrifice, the lamb that was slain, the spotless one. He died upon that cross and shed his blood that it would cover up my filthiness. I have come and I've tried to cover up certain things. And maybe I've tried to do certain things to cover up what I've done. But I'm telling you, the things that I was wearing revealed what I was doing and my wrongdoing. But thankful that day on Calvary that he shed his blood and he saved me from my sins. Stand to your feet tonight. I know it was short. I'm thankful for the blood tonight. Somebody comes to the piano. What we need when the fig leaves won't do. What we're wearing, the elements, that suit's pretty warm. And if the temperature dropped down to 40, it'd still be all right. But you let that temperature drop down there to below freezing, you're going to need something else. Suit's nice, but it ain't going to withstand the elements out there when it gets freezing. We need something in our life. And everybody, this is why I said I don't, Lord knows, feel like everybody's saved in there. I hope you are. The blood of Jesus. We need it. We need it. The Holy Ghost. We need it. You think it's tough now? And you think I've made it this far? I'm telling you. Don't seek the tongues. That's just the evidence. We need the Holy Ghost. And I'm not never saying that you won't make it to heaven without it. But I'm saying, as long as the Lord tarries, you're going to find out. With wars, the man preached this morning that the fingers on the trigger in North Korea, fingers on the trigger in China, and in Russia, and in the world, he said somebody's getting ready to pull it. You know, we're probably one button push away from a nuclear war. I mean, if we heard it on the news, we got out of here, I wouldn't be shocked. Be devastated, but I wouldn't be shocked. The toughness of this world, it ain't going to get any better. It might be a reprieve, but it ain't going to get any better. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, strive to do it. Because that Holy Ghost is going to carry you. That Holy Ghost is going to prick your heart when you do it. Hey, no. The blood of Jesus, it'll get you to heaven. But I'm telling you, you got to get that Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. So I think as old Brother Power said, I wouldn't even want to go to the grocery store without it. And that was back in his day. Now you go to Walmart and the mall, but whew. If I've overstepped my boundaries, I'm sorry, Brother Derek, but the elements of this world are tough. The elements that Satan has to throw away are tough. We need something inside of us that covers us that's going to withstand those elements. I'm thankful tonight for that blood and for that sweet power of the Holy Ghost. Like old Brother Robert said, you get that and you feel like you could attack hell with a water gun and come out victorious. That Holy Ghost will make you feel 10 foot tall. And then against the devil, you are 10 foot tall. I'm telling you, we need him tonight. We just strive to draw closer to him. Now is not the time to slack off. From the pulpit to the pews, we need to strive to know more of him every day. No more of you, Jesus. Reveal unto me something that I don't know. Something that's going to give me the weapon that I need to maybe face the battle that I've never fought. I need it. Come, let's find a place to pray tonight.